I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, He undertakes for me. And everybody said, Amen. Be seated, please. Turn in your Bibles to the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles and verses 6 and 7. In the first chapter, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. We have just entered a new year, the year of our Lord, 2010. Or in the modern way of expressing it, 2010. We all stand on a road that no human being or angelic creature has ever set foot on. No man can know until he actually walks it and leaves it behind him. Man loves the thought of seeking to read the future and engage in fortune telling. The risen Savior puts an end to man's curiosity and sinful stargazing. His word is as sharp as it could be. He said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. If you look with me at the verses that we read together, you'll see how my text stands in the context of this first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. What you know by experience, you are able to witness to. What you don't know, you have no knowledge of whatsoever, you can't make a true witness. God the Father holds the future, and he has put a hedge around it. To him it is holy ground. It is also forbidden ground. It is banned and outlawed to both saint and sinner alike until the time comes for its fulfillment. That which we know of the future is revealed in Holy Scripture alone. But it needs our careful examination and recollection. But beyond that, there is impenetrable darkness. Known unto God only are these forbidden mysteries. Therefore, to the holy word of God, we must go. For there will be the only place of instruction into that which God wants us to know. If you want to know the mind of God and the way of God and the gospel of God and the truth of God, there's only one place you'll find it. It's in this blessed book. It is embalmed in the scriptures. And we must get below the embalmment and study all that God has opened to us in His Word of revelation and wisdom. Search the scriptures, Christ said, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Search the scriptures. What is more, only the Holy Spirit can rightfully lead us to the truth of the scriptures. We need instruction. We need a teacher. And the only infallible teacher is God the Holy Spirit. Now the Bible is a mystery chest where God has hidden His riches, which He desires His people to know and His people to possess. It therefore commands us to be about the business of inquiry. Some of the greatest matters of the riches of God's knowledge are found in the jots and in the tittles of the Bible. What is a jot? What is a tittle? A jot is just the pinpoint of the ink. And a tittle is a distinctive curl on letters, making them what they are. And Christ said, till heaven and earth pass away, in no wise shall my word pass away till all be fulfilled. We have found that in every part of God's written revelation, the tiniest matter is a well of spiritual water. For example, all the numbers of Holy Scripture in their texts hold around them a special revelation from Him who calls Himself the first and the last. And between God's first and God's last, there is a great mine of revelation found in the Bible. And these two numbers set the pillars. These two numbers set the guarding pillars, pointing us to go in and search the Scripture. Now let us examine the number of this year, 2010. 20, of course, is 2 times 10. 10 in Scripture is one of the Bible's perfect numbers. It signifies the perfectness of the divine order in its completeness. The first kid is a representative of the whole numerical system. 10 in number originates the system of calculation called decimals. The whole system of numeration consists of so many 10. It is a perfect picture of completion. Now contemplate the following. Completeness of order, marking the entire round of everything, is therefore the ever-present signification of the number 10. It implies that nothing is wanting, that the number and order are perfect, and the whole is complete. If you take up the Bible and you look at it, you will find that Noah had to complete the end of the 10th generation until he came into the fullness of God's leading. The whole of the laws of God, how many commandments in their summary? 10 commandments. The Lord's Prayer, how many clauses in the Lord's Prayer? Just 10. These clauses have the significance of their respective numbers. The first clause is God's sovereignty. The second clause is Jehovah's manifested name. The third clause is the realization of God's kingdom. The fourth clause mentions the earth and its relationship to God. The fifth speaks about the gift that supply our need. The sixth treats of man's sin. The seventh pleads for spiritual guidance. The eighth pleads for final deliverance from all evil. The ninth sums up the divine glory, while the tenth completes the eternal circle. It is complete because it has the number 10 written right at its heart. So when you come to the Bible, do your counting right, and it will help you to understand the revelation of the mystery of our wonderful Bible. Remember in the Old Testament, the first born in every family had to be paid for. How was he paid? He was paid with the number 10 coin. The redemption money was 10 gera. And thus was acknowledged by man what God had claimed. And man was forced to give it. Study the works of the great men of history. Take Abraham for an example. He moved in the completed circle of 10 great trials in his life. He had a trial when he departed from his home in Haran. He had a trial in his flight to Egypt from the famine that had struck the Holy Land. He had a famine in the way Sarah was arrested and taken from him in Egypt. He had a further trial in the war he had to wage to save his nephew Lot. He also had another battle in his taking Hagar as his second wife. He had a battle in his circumcision and the second seizure of Sarah at Gerar. He had another test in the expulsion of the firstborn son, Ishmael. He also had then, ninthly, the expulsion of Hagar. And then last of all, he was tested with the final test, the offering of Isaac, a completed circle of 10 trials. Read the travels of the children of Israel when they come out of Egypt and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And if you read it correctly, especially looking at Numbers chapter 14 and 22, you'll mark the completed series of Israel's perversities. The civil sockets which formed the foundation of the tabernacle were 10 multiplied by 10. They were made of silver. And silver in the Bible is significant of redemption. Read carefully 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, and Exodus 38 and verse 27. When Jesus Christ appeared preaching the gospel, if you study carefully the gospel of John, you'll find the 10 I ams of Jesus. He says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. I am the living bread. I am the light of the world. I am one that bears witness of myself. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. The 10 I ams of Jesus. The perfectness of Christ with the stamp of the completing in the 10th. And then, of course, in the Bible, you'll find certain people, and when they were spoken to, their names were repeated. When I went out to play, when the playtime was over, my mother used to call me. And she didn't call me once. She always called me twice. Ian! Ian! And I knew my time was up. And I ran as fast as I could to obey my mother. And if I didn't run fast enough, my mother had a cane, and I was chastised for not hearing her. So not liking the cane, now the result of the cane's application, I was a very obedient young boy. I've tried that with my own family, but they have not resorted just as quickly as I did. But I was what? A good little boy. Let me tell you, the repeated names in Scripture are wonderful. Abraham, Abraham. Do you remember when God called him twice? 10 completes the perfect circle. There were 10 people only who were called twice. Abraham, Abraham. Jacob, Jacob. Moses, Moses. Samuel, Samuel. Martha, Martha. Simon, Simon. Saul, Saul. Lord, Lord. Eloi, Eloi. Lama sabachthani, the call on the cross, and the call to Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And so I could go on tonight across the whole Bible, from Genesis to Malachi, and from Malachi to the book of the Revelation. And you would see immediately the importance of the message of the biblical number 10. But let us come another step in the discovery of the importance of the Bible tense. How interesting it is to note that although 20 is 10 plus 10, that its biblical numerical value is not the doubling of number 10, but it is in its meaning a special pointer to the factor that it falls short of 1. You see, 7 plus 7 plus 7 doesn't make 20. It makes 21. 1 is missing. It has been pointed out by the great Bible teaching giants whom God has from time to time given to the church, that being 1 short of 21, it signifies that 21 in Scripture is the number that fulfills the vital matter and closes the case. How important it is to notice this. 20 is a double of 10. But when it comes into our Scriptures, we find that it lacks the one that brings it up to the 3 times the 3 sevens. This is very important. It was Dr. Milo Mahan who found this out and gave it in one of his books to the whole world. He said, look at Jacob. Jacob never attained to anything when 20 years had passed. But the 21st year was the start of his great prosperity. 20 years in the book of the Judges, Israel waited, but nothing happened. They were under the heel of their adversaries. But when the 21st year came, they were mysteriously delivered by the power of God. 20 years Israel waited for deliverance from Samson. But his work was not even begun, and he was taken away. But after he was taken away, God fulfilled his promises to his people. 20 years, the Ark of the Covenant was kept at Kirjath Jearim, 1 Samuel 7 and 2. It was missing from Shiloh. In fact, it never came back to Shiloh. 20 years, Jerusalem waited between its capture and destruction. And 20 years, Jeremiah carried out his prophecy against the stricken city of Jerusalem. So we see that the Bible has its numbers perfect. They all tie in together. Why this book was not written by man? How could a man living 1,000 years before someone who was going to write another part of the book, how did he know that the numbers were correct? Because the numbers were directed by God to the heart. And the man who wrote the book, Holy Man of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This book is not a man-made book. This is God's book, written in simple language, but containing mystery after mystery of the wisdom and the power of God. Every man that hath this hope within him purifieth himself even as he is pure. 2 Peter 3:1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And tonight I trust that perhaps for the first time you will start and take an interest in the numbers of Scripture. For they bring to us special messages of the truth that God wants to give us. But look at again at the year. 20 and 10 makes 30. Now, 3 in Scripture is the number of completion, seen, of course, by the great example of the Trinity. There are 3 members of that triune God in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And of course, God is perfect. And 3 is the number of perfection. But there is something more here. 30 is the year when something mighty happens. We have the shadow of it in a man called Joseph. Do you remember Joseph? In Genesis chapter 41 and verse 46, Joseph came to power. All the former years that he had lived in prison were reckoned up. But when he came to the age of 30, what did he do? He became virtually the king of Egypt. 30 years had to pass before the word of God was fulfilled in Joshua. But then I read of another man, another young man. Who was he? He was David. When did David come to the throne of the United Kingdom of Judah and Israel? He came to the throne according to 2 Samuel 5:4 when he was 30 years of age. Why 30? Because those 2 men were signaling about one who at the age of 30 would start his public ministry. Who was that one? That was the eternal Son of God, incarnate in the flesh. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 23, you'll read that he was 30 years of age when he started his public ministry. But the Spirit of God left on record that one man called Joseph, who was a type of Christ, he started his ministry in Egypt and in power when he was 30. And then David, who was a type of Christ, the one who was despised by his brethren, but the one who was loved of God. Listen, he was a man after God's own heart. When did he start his ministry? When he was 30. But there came one from the glory land, far greater than Joseph, far greater than David. Who was he? He was the Son of God. And at 30 years of age, he was called of God to start his public ministry and begin for 3 years his teaching of the nation. And then to end it, I said three is completion. And at 33, the blessed Son of God was hung up on a cross for you and for me. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Are you saved tonight? Dear sinner friend, hasten to the cross. Lift your eyes to the sin-bearing Son of God and cry out, God be merciful to me, the sinner, and he will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. May God bless this meditation. I know it was difficult to listen to. I know you said, what's Mr. Paisley worrying about 30s and 20s and 5s? Because it's in the book. And I'm a preacher of this book. And as I was going through this message, I was blessed in my own soul. And I looked at my old Bible and I said to it, you're right, you're right. This is the book of God. You'll never go wrong if you put your trust in God's precious word. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now.